Hi, it's Dave. Welcome. Yesterday, Tesla cut their prices for their Model 3 in North America by $2,000, and they cut their prices for the Model S and X in North America by $5,000. In today's live show episode, I'm going to be diving into some different angles and how we can process this and what this means for Tesla shareholders, and for Tesla buyers. All right, so today we're going to cover Tesla's price cuts. Yesterday, Tesla announced a surprise price cut, and many of you have already heard about this. And I think it's interesting because, you know, Tesla can, you know, cut their prices. They could raise their prices. They could do many different things. And Tesla chose to drop their prices pretty significantly yesterday. And I'm going to look at the implications of what this means. Now, I think it's easy to go and to do a typical reaction and to do a shallow, maybe emotional type of take on this. And a lot of people, they might have a black and white thing, like this is totally bad or this is totally good. And it's this dichotomy of extremes, right? And I think when we are able to look at it through different angles and take a deeper look, we can actually learn some important lessons that most people kind of take for granted and overlook. All right, so today we're gonna look at these price cuts. First, let's look at what these price cuts were. So it's $2,000 for Model 3, and then $5,000 for the Model S and X. Now this is a huge price cut, especially for the Model S and X, and for the Model 3 too, because the Model 3 is a relatively low price car compared to the Model S and X. Now this is mostly in North America, and China had their price cuts recently, just a few weeks ago as well, for their standard range and the long range. All right, so this Model 3 right now, it comes in at $3,800, $38,000, right? This is actually an amazing price for a car like the Tesla Model 3. I mean, this is an amazing car. This wipes out the BMW 3 Series or Mercedes C-Class Series. This is the best, right, entry-level, compact kind of sports kind of sedan in the market by far, and Tesla's gotten now significantly under $40,000 price target. You get 250-mile range, and you get a 5.3-second 0-60 range. Now, and plus you also get potentially some state incentives, so depending on where you live, right, for California or for different states. Now, the Model S has gotten even a bigger price cut. Now, the Model S, the long-range version is, and their only version, I guess, in terms of range, is now $75,000. Now, this is a significant drop from $80,000. You get 0-60 in 3.7 seconds, and you get a range of almost 400 miles per charge. And this is amazing compared to, like, I had a 2003 Model S P85, and this thing got 260 miles or so on a full charge, 4.2 seconds. And this thing was close to $100,000 new. And so to get something down to $75,000 and completely wipe out, right, the old P Model 3, the Model S, P85 Model S I had, is just amazing accomplishment, I think, on Tesla's part. And Tesla wouldn't lower this price unless they could make some money out of it, right? So there is some bullish signals on that. All right, what's the impact of these price cuts? First, you're going to see an increase in demand, partially because with a lower price, right, people are more attracted to buy that product. Second, it's going to become now more appealing than other ICE counterparts at the same price, right? So you have a $2,000 price reduction, which is actually very significant. And then another impact, I'm going to discuss this more, is that it lowers the margin that Tesla has, like, for per car. But this can be offset with potential increasing full self-driving option price. Okay, so let's look at the bigger strategy. Why is Tesla doing this price cut? Why are they doing it now? What is the bigger picture? All right, first, Tesla is lowering the cost of the vehicle through the combination of cost improvements. So they're doing a variety of things. For example, cell costs continue to go down. They're having cost of efficiencies, right? They're lowering the cost of each part in product. They're learning how to assemble, right, the products and their vehicles quicker and better and cheaper. So through a whole range of hundreds and hundreds of different types of cost efficiencies, they're lowering basically the cost of the vehicle. But they're also doing this through the willingness to accept lower margins on their non-full self-driving vehicles. So what this means is, for the vehicles where the owners or the buyers don't take the full self-driving option, Tesla is willing to take a lower margin, right, a margin hit on this. And I'm going to talk about this more. Second, the strategy is they're going to try to make up for the lower margins on the non-self-driving cars by raising, right, the margins on the full self-driving option. So they do this through two ways. First, they're going to raise the price, right? It's going to go up from $7,000, I think, to $8,000 or so on July 1st, I believe. And then they're going to hope that the take rate or the percent of people who opt for this full self-driving option will increase over time, especially as they approach feature complete by the end of this year. All right, so in summary, Tesla's strategy is they're going to lower the vehicle price or the non-full self-driving vehicle price, and they're gonna raise full self-driving price. And these two things kind of equal out where you have kind of hypothetically the same margin, or potentially you have growing margin if the full self-driving actually really does get to feature complete and people are impressed. So this is the overall kind of strategy of why Tesla is doing what they're doing. Now, in some ways, this is kind of a killer strategy. Let me explain. First, is you're doing these massive cost improvements. Then you're lowering the full self-driving vehicle margins, right? And you're increasing your full self-driving revenue margins. And what this is doing is it's kind of decimating to any ICE competition. And the reason is because the ICE can't decrease the cost as fast as Tesla. It's impossible, right? Tesla is a technology company. They're riding the declining cost curves of batteries. They just have so much going for them. The ICE competitors can't compete with the cost improvements. And they can't lower their margins like Tesla does for non-full self-driving cars because these ICE competition counterparts don't have full self-driving or legitimate full self-driving options really to upcharge people. So this is actually a strategy that is going to be very, very difficult to counter, I think, from ICE counterparts. So if you were an ICE maker, let's say you were Mercedes or BMW or, you know, Toyota, Lexus, or whoever that Tesla is competing against, VW, who owns Audi and Porsche, for example, what would you do as a manufacturer? Well, your cost efficiencies aren't improving that fast compared to Tesla. Okay, so you can't really compete, you can't really drop your price that much because it's going to hurt your margins. Second, if you lower your vehicle price, it's going to lower your profit, and lower profit is going to lower the investor confidence that they have in your company, and it's going to kind of create this spiral down where investors your stock's going to get hit, it's going to, there's going to be increased cost to borrow money. You're just going to have this potential just pressure on your company, right, to survive. Now, and the third thing is, you don't, as an ICE maker, you don't have, right, a legitimate competitor to Tesla's full self-driving and autopilot system. So you don't really have an option to sell to make up for the margin loss for these first two things. And so as an ICE maker, you're kind of messed up, right? Tesla's strategy, you just can't compete with it because you don't have what Tesla has, right? The declining cost curves and the full self-driving option. This is an option or a strategy that is uniquely positioned for Tesla to take advantage of. All right, and another question is, what happens when the Model Y, let's say standard range plus, eventually sells for under $40,000, right? See, Tesla right now is just not reducing the cost or price of the Model Y because they have demand. It's still in major production constraints. But when they reach equilibrium at some point, they're going to be able to reduce the cost of the Model Y and actually accept, let's say, lower margins on the non-full self-driving vehicles because they can make it up on the full self-driving option. So the Model Y is likely going to be priced under $40,000. Now, what ICE, right, SUV can compete with a Model Y that's priced under $40,000, right? It's just craziness. I don't know what ICE vehicles are going to do. What is Porsche? What is, you know, BMW, Mercedes? How are they going to compete against this type of strategy? All right, notwithstanding, there are some risks for Tesla. First, especially regarding the strategy, if full self-driving option take rate decreases over time, it will lower revenue and margins for the company, meaning that it might not offset the vehicle price decreases. So this whole strategy that Tesla and Elon are embarking on really depends on full self-driving actually maturing and getting to the point where they could realize, right, feature completeness, and it could be a legit full self-driving option. Second, it's possible, and the risk is, it could be a race to the bottom, right? Meaning, let's say Tesla keeps on lowering their margins for the non-full self-driving cars. Let's say the take rate doesn't increase that fast for their full self-driving option. In that case, Tesla's margins can just get hit further and further and becomes a low margin business. So in the bigger picture, this is a big bet by Elon Musk and Tesla going forward long-term as a strategy that full self-driving is going to work and it's going to work out. But also, Tesla could raise prices later, right? If this whole strategy kind of doesn't make sense, and if Q2, right, is just like kind of a bump in the bigger picture and they're able to raise prices in the future, they might do so. All right, the question now is why now? Why does Tesla now, right, reduce prices, right, for their non-full self-driving cars, but also why are they increasing their price for their full self-driving option? Well, first, I think it's possible that lower Model 3 S and X demand is due to the pandemic and to the Model Y ramp. So you have a situation where you have a double whammy, right? The Model Y is ramping, it's like Tesla's most popular vehicle. And then you have this global pandemic. People are kind of sitting at home, not doing as much driving as they used to. Second, you have a special Q2 situation where there were paused. They can't rely on Europe sales as much. So they really have to boost North America sales. And so this strategy could be part of a quarterly strategy to boost North America sales. And the third thing is, full self-driving, according to Elon, is nearing feature completion by the end of the year. And so what this means is that there could be increased demand to take up this option, and that gives Tesla some room to lower their non-full self-driving vehicle cost. All right, so summary. Is this an all good, bad, or black and white situation? No, I don't think so, right? It's much more complicated than this, right? It's a very nuanced situation, but it's all part of a bigger strategy that bets on full self-driving to drive margins and profits going forward. At Autonomy Day last year, Elon Musk said they're betting their entire company, right, on autonomous driving, on robotaxi, and this is part of that strategy being rolled out with pricing. And I think most importantly, this strategy could be possibly devastating for ICE competition, right? It's a strategy that these ICE counterparts cannot match, right? They're just not equipped to do it. And part of it is Tesla's riding the technological disruptions of battery and software. All right, let's take some questions here. If you have some questions, go ahead and put in all caps questions, colon mark, and post your question in the live chat. I'll try to answer a few questions. If you've already asked a question in live chat, go ahead and post it again so I could read it. As the earlier chat messages, I'm not able to read as I'm like kind of talking out here. All right. Before we go into some questions, let's look at the gross profit impact of Tesla lowering their prices, right? Let's say for the Model 3, they lower the price by $2,000. So what does that mean? So let's say you have a Model 3 car that costs, or that is a $50,000 priced car. Let's say it's, you know, all-wheel drive or something. And it costs $38,000 to make the car. So Tesla, let's say hypothetically, they make a 24% gross margin. That means they have a $12,000 gross profit off of this car. So this is before the price cut. Now, after the price cut, they have a $2,000 price cut. So now the Model 3 costs $48,000 with the price cut. It still costs $38,000 to make, right? Nothing has changed per se, let's say, with the cost to make the car. Maybe quarter over quarter it has changed, right? It's starting to go down over time. So maybe this is a little bit less, right? $37,500 or so. Nevertheless, hypothetically, they make $10,000 gross profit, or their gross margin is 20.8%, right? So in this case, their gross margin drops from 24% to 20.8% with a $2,000 price drop. This is actually pretty significant, right? Margin hit. It's a 13% drop in gross margin. However, as I shared before, this could be offset with a $1,000 full self-driving option price increase, right? And a possible uptake in full self-driving option as full feature complete is coming soon. All right, so another last question before I take some questions, or hypothetical kind of situation I'll pose to you guys. Which one would you take? If you were Tesla and you ran the company, one, would you sell 100,000 vehicles at an average sales price of $50,000 and a gross margin of 24%? Or would you sell 120,000 vehicles at an average sales price of $48,000 and a gross margin of 20.8%. Which situation would lead to more profit? and which situation would further, let's say, advance your mission and goal as a company. Let's take a look at these two options. First, if you sell 100,000 vehicles at an average sales price of $50,000, you'll have $5 billion in revenue. At a gross margin of 24%, that means you would have $1.2 billion in gross profit, right? And for Tesla, that will cover their operating expenses and their interest expense, most likely. All right, the second situation is, let's say 120,000 vehicles at $48,000. That's a $5.76 billion revenue, right? It's a bigger revenue for Tesla. However, because the margins are 20.8%, the gross profit is actually $1.2 billion, which is the same as the gross profit in situation one. So the point of this exercise is you get the same gross profit, which is gonna cover your operating expenses and interest expense, whether or not you sell 100 or 120,000 vehicles at different, or say, average sale prices with different margins. So it's a game of understanding, and as a company, which option that you're gonna take. Are you gonna sell more vehicles at a lower gross margin, right? Or are you gonna sell less vehicles at a higher gross margin? I think personally, Tesla, over time, they aim for this number two situation, meaning to advance Tesla's goals to increase production actually helps advance their mission to transition the world to sustainable energy. And by doing so, first, it helps by increasing, let's say, number of vehicles, you have more people driving it, it's more advertising for you. Second, you get more efficiency of cost or economies of scale because more people doing it. It helps, you know, kind of with your development and everything. I think Tesla over time is going to choose kind of lower margins, but higher sales. And they're going to try to make up those margins by software, which is their full self-driving option. All right, let's take some questions for the rest of the video. And all right, James Delk says, why or why not do you think Tesla should do a stock split? Are you going to Tesla Investor Day? Yeah, the stock split is kind of like irrelevant because the market cap for the company remains the same. So it actually has no bearing on the value of the company if you do a split. The only advantage is maybe smaller retail investors might be able to pick up Tesla as, you know, full shares if Tesla was like, you know, 20, 30 bucks versus 800. But a lot of companies are doing, like brokerages are doing fractional shares, so I don't think it matters that much. Are you going to Tesla Investor Day? I think you're talking about the battery day. I'm not sure. We'll see where it is. It might be virtual, right? The part one. Tesla just announced they're having a shareholder meeting on July 7th at 2:30 p.m. I've gone to that in the past. This summer, I'm going on, I'm planning at least to go on a long road trip, hitting a bunch of national parks for a few months over the summer, so I probably won't be able to make that Investor Day. V Patel says, when Tesla rolls out cars with a million mile battery, how do you think this will influence the value of used Teslas with the current battery and previous iterations of the battery? Thanks. Yeah, I think it depends. Like the Model 3 actually has great resale value. It just is a car that just works well, right? It has great range. It's a functional car. In California, you've got carpool, you know, advantages, etc. I think Tesla's because they're so capable, they'll hold certain value, right, in of itself. But with the million mile battery, yeah, you know, you're gonna take the new car with the million mile battery. So yeah, in the short term, I think research will be, or used cars prices for Tesla can be hit some. All right, Ben Lee says, many research have proven that commute time directly correlates with feelings of happiness. Full self-driving makes this a moot point. How will it affect the suburban real estate versus urban real estate? For example, current trend of working from home has shown an increase in single family house demand. Yeah, you know, a lot of people have been bullish on suburbs, right, because of the whole rise of the urban kind of, you know, culture. And real estate has shown that in some ways too. However, yeah, I think suburbs are actually legit. There's a bull case for suburbs because there's actually an amazing kind of standard of living that you get out in the suburbs with kind of a yard and with walking paths and space and cleaner air. And I think with full self-driving, yeah, you have an option to commute into town or not. And you can live, you know, 30, 40, 50 minutes, an hour away from a city, but still, you know, take advantage a lot of the good things of the city. And as you mentioned, Ben, the whole, you know, advent of remote working and what the pandemic has done to actually legitimize remote working as a major trend. I think, I think suburbs, I think actually urban areas, it's not the end of the urban area as well, right? I think there is a shortage of great places for people to live, and whether it's suburbs or urban areas, people are gonna choose to live there. Tomer says, I think Tesla lowered the price of the Model 3 because they will soon announce the Standard Plus Model Y at $43,000. So they wanted to differentiate them. Your thoughts? Yeah, it's possible, you know, Tesla could release the Model Y. And I think they're going to reduce it over time. Question, what do you think Twitter's duel with Trump will affect Square at all? Yeah, I don't think it really affects Square. It's not really related. Sure, it's the same CEO, Jack Dorsey. And it's possible if Jack Dorsey gets in the hot seat with investors and his board, then it could affect Square. But actually, they're totally unrelated, right? So yeah, I don't think it affects Square at all. All right, TK2X says, how much do you think demand has dropped? Do we have any objective measure of inventory rising as such number of cars in Tesla Fremont lot, etc.? Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's really per se like a huge drop per se. I don't know. We won't know until, let's say, Tesla, you know, shares their quarterly numbers. But Tesla has their incoming order rate. My take, or my feeling, is people just aren't doing that last commitment, right? People are holding off a little bit longer, and you know, they're waiting to see what happens. And I think because of that, there's a lot of people in limbo, and that's causing people to wait on buying. I think the price drop could help a lot. All right, Market Scraper says, do you think Tesla will squeeze in a profit for Q2? Yeah, you know, personally, I mean, I think it's unlikely Tesla squeezes a profit. I think they will try their best, right? And if they have any extra, like, you know, ZEV credits to sell or different stuff to do, they'll try to do it. If they can eke out even $1 of profit, then they're in the S&P 500, basically, right? Because they're one of the largest cap companies that aren't listed in the S&P 500 right now. So that would be amazing if they are. I'm not counting on it, and I'm not really making any short-term bets myself based off of that. All right, Antoine says, are you worried about this price cut from Tesla as an investor? What is your sentiment right now? Yeah, as I shared in my video, I think actually this is part of a bigger killer strategy. If I was worried, I would be more worried about IC competitors, right? How can they combat the strategy of lowering non-full self-driving vehicle margins and increasing your full self-driving margins to compensate? They can't even copy them. So yeah, if there's anyone that should be concerned, it should be the executives of IC companies. Like, they're the ones that need to figure out what's going on. I'm not too worried about Tesla right now. All right, Alan Perry says, Dave, do you think they did this because they are so much closer to full self-driving soon? Yeah, definitely, right. Elon is increasing the price of the full self-driving option. He's more confident in this, and it allows him to kind of count on that or rely on that, the growing margins of full self-driving more. Therefore, he's more aggressive and be able to lower the price of non-full self-driving cars. This is all part of the bigger strategy. All right, John Chen, if I bought a Tesla Model 3 just 3 days ago, is Tesla known to give refund or credit? Sorry, yeah, Tesla won't give you a refund or credit. You bought the car. And, you know, that's Tesla's policy, right? You purchased the car, you ordered it, you took delivery as well. If you haven't taken delivery, you can cancel, but there's still, like, I think a reservation order or a cancellation fee. But yeah, I mean, Teslas are great, amazing cars. It's just because, you know, sure, you might have missed out on a couple $1,000 discount, but you know, in the bigger picture, they're amazing cars. Personally, like, yeah, I think there are going to be some changes upcoming with the battery day announcement, with all sorts of stuff. So if I was buying a new car, if I needed a new car, I would get one now. But if I didn't really need a new car, I'd be kind of interested in waiting to see what kind of new features, what kind of new batteries that Tesla comes out with in the next couple of months. All right, Donald Mohammed says, what do you think about buying a Model 3 as an inflation hedge? I'm thinking about buying 10 of these base model bras, base models. You know, oh man, dude, you gotta, yeah, sorry, man. As an inflation hedge, I don't suggest Tesla Model 3 as an inflation hedge. It's gonna go down in value, in my opinion. Some people think it's gonna increase in value, but that's not my opinion. Alright, if you see a guy or a person who's spamming kind of the live chat, if you can go ahead and just report that person, and that's going to help kind of clean up the whole live chat. Also, this is a great chance to go ahead and like this video if you've watched this video so far. That's going to help with the YouTube algorithm, help get the word out for this channel. If you haven't subscribed, go ahead and subscribe. We're looking at kind of these topics of investing and from different angles. We're trying not to take just a shallow look, but really kind of dive in with a quantitative and a qualitative approach and get some answers that you're not going to find probably in other places. All right, a couple more questions. Jishan says, do you think the Tesla car sales will be not affected in this pandemic as the people being laid off are anyways in a lower income bracket? Yeah, actually, I think this impacts everyone, you know? I mean, all income brackets in some ways. This pandemic is real. The economic impacts are real. I think it's going to hit car sales across the board. That's just my opinion. But with Tesla, they're better off because they're ramping the Model Y, right? So they still have a lot of demand that's pent up for the Model Y. So I think they still can sell a ton of vehicles. All right, guys. Thanks for joining in at this live chat. I'm gonna wrap up right now. And in the next couple videos, what I'm gonna do is I have a great video I'm gonna share with you guys about kind of the key insights of companies. Meaning, a company needs to, I think, in my opinion, have a certain secret that they're understanding that other people don't see. I'm gonna take a bunch of companies and give you examples of some secrets that some companies and some CEOs are seeing that other people aren't seeing and what advantage they are. This is going to be like a great investment video. Another video I have prepped for this week is on Facebook. I'm going to kind of do a deep dive on kind of analyzing Facebook's competitive strategy and their valuation, how to value a company like Facebook. And I think as we value each company and one company at a time, we'll get a better sense of how these companies are valued and how we can value other companies going forward. All right, have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you guys in my next video. Take care, bye, thanks.